Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. We'll focus on that short passage this afternoon, but yet there's a lot in it. You know, storms, and especially storms at sea or in big lakes, can be quite frightening. There are many studies and stories about a life at sea and getting caught up in a storm. And every time you read about these stories or these documentaries, the one thing that is common in all of them is that people concerned feared for their life a lot. They were that frightened that they prayed for deliverance. Well, here in this passage of scripture, there is a similar situation, isn't there? I mean, there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And like most voyages, this voyage started calmly enough with Jesus deciding to go out for a relaxing sail. Now Luke says in verse 22, one day he got into the boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. Now, the Sea of Galilee is usually calm. So they set out and as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, verse 22 to 23. And it was at that time the bad weather comes in and the water was getting quite rough. Now Luke tells us that a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in danger. Now although the Sea of Galilee was usually calm, as I said, when storms do come, they usually are quite violent. The Sea of Galilee is subject to sudden storms because it is 700 feet below sea level, and between the mountain regions, cold air from the heights sweeps down between the gorges to the east and whips up the seas in a very, very short period of time. And Galilee is situated in a place for a perfect storm. So this particular storm was as powerful as any that the disciples had ever seen. Now let us not forget here that Peter and Andrew, as well as James and John, were fishermen by trade and had spent most of their lives in these waters. And judging by their concern, they had not experienced anything like this storm. In actual fact, they feared for their lives. That's how bad it was. And what a picture this is of the sudden and dangerous storms that threaten us as we sail through life. And if we go back to the Old Testament, the Bible compares the troubles of life to the dangers of the sea, doesn't it? You see that quite often. Psalm 69, verses 1 and 15. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. What about Jonah? Jonah 2 verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surround me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. What the disciples went through in the Sea of Galilee is something we all go through in life. Seas of difficulty and storms of trouble. People lose their jobs or suffer some financial hardship. And they get tossed about by the waves of worry. And some people receive bad news medically. Some struggle with chronic illness and are flooded with fear. Some people have problems at home with the neighbour and even in the church. And they feel they are sinking in misery. And some people have lost loved ones and are drowned in sorrow. My friends, we all must pass through the heavy seas of life's troubles. As the Apostle Peter said, the same Peter who was in this sinking boat with Jesus, he said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. 1 Peter 4. Often danger comes the way it came at Galilee, suddenly. The disciples never expected this big storm to come and that they would be frightened for their lives. And the same thing can happen to us. Easily. Daily life can appear calm, routine, and suddenly they are hit by a storm. And we are in a situation that we think we can handle, but suddenly and unexpectedly we're afraid that we're in danger of drowning. And then most of all, we endure the testing of our soul. So what should we do when trouble comes? How should we react in times of danger, whether physical or spiritual? When the disciples were in danger, as the Bible says, they reacted by crying out for Jesus to save them. verse 24. There was a problem with this response. But nevertheless, the disciples knew where to get help. Whenever we're in danger or of drowning, or at least think that we are, we should cry out to Jesus as well. If we are burdened with our sins, cry out to Jesus for mercy and asking him to save us through this, through his cross and the empty tomb. If we struggle financially, we cry to him for daily bread. If we are tormented by pain, we cry to him for patience and endurance. And if we are overwhelmed with sorrow, we cry to him for comfort of his loving presence. In every rough and stormy time, and even to the point of death itself, we call upon Jesus. And it's when we call upon Jesus, he is able to and willing to help, as the disciples discovered. In times of trouble, there is no more trusting a person to call on than Jesus, because no one is more able to save us than he is. When the disciples cried out to him, Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. The disciples were in a state of confusion, but Jesus was fully composed. Jesus very calmly and by the power of his word told the storm to be still. Jesus was the commander-in-chief, so to speak, of the waves and storm and all deadly power of the sea. What happened here was a genuine and an immediate miracle. One moment the disciples were almost drowning, and in the next moment they were floating on the smooth sea of Galilee. The storm stopped and the sea was calm, and there was no natural explanation for that. The storm was stopped by the command of Christ. And Jesus delivered his disciples as he delivers everyone who calls to him in faith by the power of his mighty word. Now, as we read in verse 25, two very important questions are asked. The first was a question asked by Jesus, a question we all need to answer about ourselves. Where is your faith? And the second question, well, that was asked by the disciples. And a question that everyone needs to ask about Jesus: who is this man? So for the first question, where is your faith? This here was a gentle rebuke, but still a rebuke. This was implying that the disciples were not really trusting Jesus. The interesting thing here is that the storm did not wake Jesus, but the unbelief of his disciples, well, that surely did wake him up. Yes, it is true the disciples had cried out to Jesus for help, but there was something rather desperate about the way they did it. The boat itself was not the only thing being swamped that day. The fear of the disciples overtook their faith, because they only looked at the danger and forgetting they were safe with Jesus. So they asked for help only as a last resort. So when they ask for help, they're at their point of extreme fear. Rather than just trusting that God would take care of them regardless, they straight away assumed the worst. "We are perishing," they said. By what they said, they believed that Jesus did not know or care about their situation. Friends, we can sympathise with the disciples in their lack of faith, because it is only natural to be afraid of death, and it is very easy to panic in a crisis. It's so easy to be overwhelmed by life's troubles. When the water is high and the storm is rising, it's easy to think that we're going down for the last time. It is easy to think that God does not know and does not care that we are drowning. Because if he did, then obviously he would wake up and do something about it, right? I mean, that's a natural explanation for it. Yet no matter how desperate our situation, we should always trust God to bring us safely back to shore. The story of Jesus calming the storm gives us three strong reasons to trust God in absolutely everything. In each of these three things is like a life jacket for our souls, lifting us up to faith that will not go under, that we will not go under at the first sign of danger. Now, the first thing why we should trust Jesus, because even storms of life are under his sovereign control. 100%. Now, to understand this, we need to go back to the beginning of the story. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake," verse 22. Now, the disciples were in the storm because Jesus himself told them to go out onto the lake. Now, Michael Lookup wrote, "We cannot avoid the fact that Jesus was altogether in control of the whole chain of events in this passage. He took his disciples across the lake where a storm was going to burst upon them." So friends, let us not forget, having a personal saving relationship with Christ does not mean that somehow we will escape all life's troubles. It doesn't mean that at all. Christians suffer the same natural disasters, the same sinful abuse, and the same daily problems as everyone else. In actual fact, by knowing Jesus takes us right into the heart of the storm, especially when we suffer for our faith. We can be in the centre of God's will and yet still be right in the centre of the storm, just as the disciples did. This does not mean that God is always the cause of suffering. Some of our sufferings are caused by the sins of others or by our very own sin, of course. God can never be the author of evil. But what it does mean is that our suffering never catches God by surprise. He always knows when we are headed for a big storm of trouble. Sometimes in order to accomplish his work in our lives, he even guides us into them. And that was certainly true in this case because it was Jesus himself who told the disciples to cross the lake. And this was for the testing of their faith and the training of their souls. Friends, by affliction, God teaches us many important lessons which without we could never ever learn. By affliction, he shows us our emptiness and weakness, draws us to the throne of grace, purifies our affections, weans us from the world, and makes us long for heaven. Now, the second reason we should trust God in stormy troubles is that Jesus set the perfect example. The most amazing thing about this particular incident is that Jesus could sleep through such a storm. And this shows us Jesus' true humanity. To stay asleep meant he was extremely tired and prone to fatigue, just like the rest of us. But it also shows us this, and that is that Jesus had complete confidence in the loving care of his Father. How was Jesus to rest easy during such a storm? Well, partly because he was so tired, but also because he has faith in his Father. Jesus slept as he did not have a care in the world, literally. And in a way, he didn't, because he was resting in his Father's arms. He knew his Father would wake him when he needed to be wakened. So when Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" he was challenging his disciples to live with the same kind of trust, and that is to rest in his Father's care. And Jesus calls us to live the same kind of faith, believing that God is in control and rely completely on him. So often we feel the need to stay alert for every danger because we worry about everything. We feel the need to be in control of everything as well. And this becomes exhausting. And when we're exhausted, we do some strange things. When we behave like that, it's because we're not trusting God to look after us. We do not rest in our Father's care the way that Jesus did. Now, for the third reason for trusting God is the most comforting of all. We believe this trust because Jesus is with us in the boat. The first thing that Luke tells us is that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, verse 22. He was with them when they sailed across the lake. He was with them when the wind began to show itself and the waves crashed over the bow. And he was with them when they cried for help. So why were they so afraid? Well, Norval Geldenhuis asked a question like this. He said, "How could they have feared that they would perish as long as he was within the ship? Even although he was asleep, he is the Almighty Lord who watches over the safety of his followers, How could they have feared that God would allow his son, the promised Redeemer, and his disciples to perish?" Well, friends, Jesus is on board with us as we ride out the storm of life as well. He has given us the promise of his everlasting presence, and you can rest assured that you can depend on him in every situation. If we ever find ourselves in any difficulty, we have the promise as an assurance for our soul. I mean, look at Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. So if anyone asks, where is your faith? We can say our faith is in God who rules the universe, and his son Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for our sins. Now what a difference it makes to know that Jesus is in the same boat with us. This is true not only for the individual believer, but also for the church. Charles Spurgeon said, I scarcely know of an apter picture of a church than as a ship upon the treacherous Galilean Sea with Jesus and his disciples sailing in it. Every sail of the good ship which bears the flag of the high admiral of our fleet must be beaten with the wind, and every plank in her must be tried by the waves. Well, nobody can put it better than he can. And this is a great source of strength, isn't it? Because it guarantees that even when the storm is rising, the ship of God's church, well, it will not sink. Jesus is on board. And it doesn't matter how powerful that storm is, we can trust that our captain will see us safely through. So whenever we feel that we are drowning, we need to ask ourselves, now what difference would it make in this situation if I were really to trust in Jesus, believing that he is in the same boat with me and knowing that he's able to save me? Where is my faith? And this was the question that Jesus asked his disciples. And he asked it because he knew that they had every reason to trust him. And we have even more to trust Jesus. We have seen his love on the cross. We have experienced his power through the empty tomb. And we have been given his spirit to stay with us wherever we go. So when the storms of life come, we can trust Jesus to get us safely back to shore. No doubt about it. So now for the question the disciples asked. A question about the true identity of Jesus Christ in verse 25. And they were afraid and marvelled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now the disciples, as we read, were frightened of the storm. But now they're even more afraid. Not that they thought Jesus would harm them, but in the sense that they were amazed at what Jesus had done. Jesus had just proved that he was even more powerful than the mightiest storm at sea. And this overwhelmed them with a reverent fear. It made them wonder who Jesus really was. I mean, after all. And this is the main point of the passage, isn't it? And once again, Luke's goal is to help become more certain about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Each episode broadens our understanding of who Jesus is and what he has come to do for our salvation, for yours and mine. Here in chapter 8, the disciples raised a question that is really the central theme of the whole gospel. Who is this Jesus? It appears the disciples already have provided the answer, even though they seem not to have fully recognised it themselves. They said, he commands even winds and waters and they obey him. And the word command was just a word for it too, because Luke tells us that Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, verse 24. Jesus spoke to the storm as though it had to answer to his authority. And apparently it did have to answer because it obeyed what Jesus said and what he commanded. So who has the right to speak to the sea that way? And this is the question that may have stumped the disciples. But the answer is obvious to anyone who reads the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is God. His miracle on the Sea of Galilee was proof of his divine nature and omnipotent deity. And this comes very apparent when we read in the Old Testament Psalms, doesn't it? Where God alone has the power and the authority to rule the savageness of the sea. You only have to read Psalm 65, Psalm 89, Psalm 104, which we read, Psalm 106, and Psalm 107. So I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 107, verse 23 to 29. And it says, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still." Friends, Jesus Christ is Lord of the sea, which makes perfect sense because, well, he created it. Key passages throughout the New Testament testify that Jesus is the Creator God. John tells us at the beginning of his gospel, doesn't he? "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." 1 John 3. The book of Hebrews tells that it was through Jesus that God created the world. Hebrews 1, 2. And this same Jesus, who has the power to save, calls us to have faith in him through the winds and the waves of every storm. And this does not mean we will not suffer harm on the way. Of course not. But it does mean, though, that Jesus will see us through it. That's what it does mean. And David Goodings wrote, "We live in a universe that is lethally hostile to human life. Within our earth itself, wind, wave, lightning, storm, flood, drought, avalanche, earthquake, fire, heat, cold, germ, virus, epidemic, all from time to time threaten and destroy life. And sooner or later, one of them may destroy us. The story of the stilling of the storm is not, of course, meant to tell us that Christ will never allow any believer to perish by drowning or by any other natural disaster. Many believers have so perished. It does demonstrate that he is Lord of the physical forces in the universe, that for him nothing happens by accident, and that no force in all creation can destroy his plan for our eternal salvation or separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have this comfort. It's guaranteed, it's promised. Jesus saved us through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, and has control over everything that happens to harm us in any way. So let us never forget that he is on board with you and with me. And that means through whatever troubles you may go through. I mean, what a comfort that is to have that assurance. Praise God for his love, because his love endures forevermore. Let's pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the rich promises that we have in our Saviour Jesus Christ. And yes, Lord, it's true, we do go through our ups and downs, and we're so easily distracted, and we forget that Jesus is with us. He's actually with us in the boat. And Lord, we do not need to call upon him in fear. We call upon him because his love for us is sincere. And we know with him we are safe. We may go through physical struggles. We may even go through some spiritual pain. But we know that the hand of Jesus is upon us, and that with him we have security, eternal life, eternal joy, secured forever and ever by an act of his love by the act of his sacrifice and his genuine promise to us all. So it's in him, Lord, we come before you, into your throne room, acknowledging that we have everything secured by him alone. Amen.